And 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 13 declares, "And since we have the same spirit of faith according to what is written, I believed and therefore I spoke, we also believe and therefore speak." The New Century Version says, "It is written in the Scriptures, I believed, so I spoke." Our faith is like this too. We believe and so we speak. Now Jesus declared in the Gospel of Matthew, the 34th chapter, he said, "Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks." He was literally declaring this to the Pharisees. He said, "How can you, being evil, bring forth good fruit?" He said, every tree is known by its fruit. And he said, "For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks." The truth is, what we speak out of our mouths is what's in us. We are literally declaring things out of our hearts that are in us. Jesus said, "It's not what comes into the man that defiles him. It's not what you eat that defiles you. It's what comes out of your heart that defiles you." So there's a principle in this that we want you to get a hold of this morning. Like somebody said, if somebody kicks your bucket, what comes out? Our hearts are like, when we're speaking about our heart, what's in our thinking is going to come out when the pressure comes on. We're like a tube of toothpaste. When you squeeze a tube of toothpaste, what's in it's going to come out. And it's easy to declare what God says about our lives when everything's hunky-dory and everything's great. But when pressure is on, when we face opposition, when we're facing evil reports, when we're facing challenges in our life, that's the telltale sign of what's coming out of our hearts, what's coming out of our mouths. Because literally what's coming out of our mouth is our belief in action. Jesus said, the scripture says that faith without works is dead. With faith without correspondence is dead. The truth is, we're going to speak what we believe. You and I are going to talk about what we believe. And James said that our words, the things that we talk about, set in motion the course of nature. It sets in motion the course of life. Now, there's been a lot of controversy over the last few years about this concept of the power of words. I've talked to some friends of mine who don't believe this, who are trying to say, "Well, you're talking about the law of attraction." I had one friend say, "This is nothing more than witchcraft and the law of attraction. You think that you're attracting things to you." We're not talking about witchcraft. Literally what we're talking about is declaring what God says about you. Because, God doesn't see things the way human beings see things. Isaiah chapter 55 says, "My ways are not your ways, saith the Lord, nor my thoughts your thoughts. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so are my ways and your ways and my thoughts and your thoughts." Now again, in the context of that scripture, God is literally speaking to lost people, to evil people or wicked people. But just because we're a believer doesn't mean that our thoughts have been remade, that our mind has been renewed. The Bible says that we're being transformed by the renewing of our mind. And we have to think the way God thinks. Last week we looked at Abraham and we said how God brought Abraham out of the Ur of the Chaldeans, took him into the land of plenty, the land of Canaan, told him to walk around the land so that Abraham could get a new vision and a new possibility of what God was able to do. And so it was through this process of Abraham seeing with his eyes and experiencing a relationship with God that God changed Abraham's his paradigms. This is really a biblical principle. We see the same principle really in the life of Jacob, when Jacob was working for Laban, and the Lord told him the principle about the goats, and Jacob cut saplings with spots on them and put them in front of where the goats were watering, and it said that they began to bring forth spotted goats. Because Laban told him, Jacob said, "Well, if my whatever has spots on it, which wasn't as popular and wasn't as prolific, he said, that'll be my pay. And the ones without spots, that'll be your pay." So Jacob, literally by the revelation of God, changes the breeding patterns of these goats through just them simply eating or watering in front of spotted saplings. They begin producing spotted sheep. So this is a principle we find in Scripture. And so Jesus said it kind of like this. He said, "Be careful what you hear, for with the amount of thought and attention you give to the truth you hear will be the amount of virtue or power that's rendered back to you." So what we think on is going to affect how we perceive things and how we talk about things. And so again, There's such misconception about what faith is from a biblical perspective. Again, Hebrews 11:1 says, "Now faith is the substance or the reality of things we cannot see, the hope of things, the substance of things hoped for, the evidence or the proof of things that we cannot, that don't exist." Again, we can't see heaven with our physical eyes, can we? But we believe by faith heaven exists. We can't see God with our physical eyes, but we believe by faith that God exists. And so when it comes to faith, faith is not believing what you can see. Faith is believing what you cannot see, based upon evidence. Again, there's no faith in believing what is already evident to the senses. And this is really the difficulty, as we spoke of earlier, that when we get saved, when we become believers, we have to begin changing the way we talk about ourselves and the world around us. We have to begin changing, letting God's word transform the way we see the world. Because the way we see the world and the way God sees the world are often diametrically opposed to one another. There's not an ounce of faith involved with just proclaiming what we see with our eyes. Not one bit of faith. So let's apply this to our everyday lives. If I needed some finances, if I had some financial need in my life, we have a couple options. We can either figure out in our own strength how to go get more money, right? We could get a second job. We could sell something. We could borrow some money. So those are some natural ways we could get more finances, right? And of course, those all have, I'm not saying those are wrong or ungodly, but they all have consequences, right? If you go borrow more money, you got to pay that money back, right? If you go get another job, which is sometimes you have to do that. But if you go get another job, that's going to take more of your time. And sometimes people have so many jobs and they're working so much, they're never going to get ahead because they don't have any time to get ahead. They're just stretched to the limit. And pretty soon they're not really living life. They're like a rat in a cage on a wheel, just going around and around and around to pay bills. So we could sell something, which is one of the biblical ways of getting wealth, is selling something. And God, so those are all, we understand that those are natural things, but there's not necessarily anything supernatural in that other than maybe you needed more money and God gave you a better job, or God supernaturally gave you some money, so on and so forth. But we're talking about believing God for things that are beyond our abilities. Because if we can just do it ourselves, what do we need God for, right? The Bible says, trust not in your own understanding. Don't trust in your own wisdom. The arm of flesh will fail. There are things we face in life on a regular basis that there's not really a human solution to it. Our solutions are limited in our own strength, and that's why we need God. And so by faith, we believe things that are beyond our ability, but they're not beyond God's ability. And so if we're only limited by our own ability, then we're living by sight. We're not living by faith. We're literally living by a carnal mind. Because if we only do those things that we can do, then God isn't involved, really. I mean, God blesses it, but we have to be able to stretch ourselves and allow God to stretch us to the point that we're beyond just human limitations, because human limitations are limited. The Bible tells that some may trust in horses, some may trust in chariots, but I will trust in the name of the Lord my God. Well, what's that declaring? It declares, as the scripture says, the horse is prepared for a day of battle, but our help comes from the Lord. We see throughout the Old Covenant time and time and time again where the children of Israel were facing enemies that were far beyond their physical ability to defeat. And they had to call upon God. God, if you don't come through, we're toast. I mean, when they came into the promised land, they came to the promised land with Moses. They send in the 12 spies. 10 come back and they say, there's giants in the land. These men are big. We're nothing but grasshoppers in their sight. And they're going to wipe us off the face of the deep. And God called us out here just to kill us. Why did he do such a thing? Why were they declaring that? They were declaring what they believed. They were declaring what was in them. They saw the giants and they literally were giants. Many historians say that the sons of Anak, Goliath was one of the sons of Anath. These men were literally giant people. Some historians say Goliath was up to 13 feet tall. There's one particular man in the Old Covenant that refers to, he had a bed 18 feet long. These were giant people. and you're an Israelite that maybe you're about my height, you're going to fight this 13-foot tall guy with armor. And so they were looking at things in the natural, and when they looked at what their eyes could see and their reasoning kicked in, their faith in God and their trust in God's ability to do what they couldn't do went right out the window. And so when they came back to the children of Israel, even though they had walked with God for years and years and years, and God had supernaturally brought water out of the rock, they didn't bring water out of the rock. Moses hit the rock, God supernaturally brought it out. They didn't cause quail to come into the camp so they could eat it. They didn't cause manna, angel food, to come down out of heaven. These were all supernatural events that God provided beyond human ability. They couldn't even get themselves out of Egypt. God supernaturally raised up Moses, supernaturally delivered them out of Egypt, brought them to the Red Sea, and then supernaturally parted the Red Sea, even though that's something physically you cannot do. God, time and time and time and time again, brought forth supernatural provision when they had no provision, because God is a supernatural God who delights in doing things that people can't do, so that when it gets done, we go, God, to you be all the glory and praise. When we do things in our own strength, God doesn't necessarily get any praise or glory out of that. We go, well, I figured that out. But there's going to come a point in our lives, and it's going to come, and it does come, where we can't figure out an answer. There's just no answer. There's no solution. There's no way out other than God better come through. When you go to the doctor and the doctor says, you've got X amount of days to live, you're going to die, there's no solution in man at times. So what's the answer? God, you better come through or I'm dead. Now, praise God, if you die, you go to be with Christ. That's not defeat, that's victory. But God has things for you to do, amen? Amen. You run into a financial situation, whether it's of your own making, studies show that the average American has a major financial crisis every 5 years. Your refrigerator is going to blow up. Your car is going to die. You're going to smack a deer. You're going to run into something. Something's going to happen in your life that's going to cause you to need more money than you currently have right now. That happens. It's just, you know, we don't, just because we're people of faith does not mean that we don't face opposition. The devil will make sure you face opposition. The faith walk is not a walk of ease, it's a walk of battle. That's why it's called the fight of faith. Because if you walk in faith, you are going to get stronger in God, and God will bring you into greater challenges. David killed a bear, he killed a lion before he killed Goliath. And because he killed a bear and because he killed a lion and God supernaturally equipped him to do it, even though it was David's skill that brought it forth, it was God obviously supernaturally delivering the lion, delivering the bear into David's hand. So when the lion came, when Goliath came along, David didn't see Goliath as some insurmountable obstacle. He saw Goliath as just another opportunity for God to come through and do something that man could not do. And David was not afraid of Goliath. So the point is, we're going to find ourselves in situations, and we do it many times, where we don't have an answer to that. And all, if we are facing opposition, we are facing a circumstance, and we allow just our minds to begin speaking through our mouths what we see, this is what we're going to do. We're going to declare what everybody already knows. And there's no faith in that. Not one ounce. And so if things are going bad in our family, things are going bad in relationships, things are going bad at work, things are going bad financially, things are going bad physically, this is the common thing we find ourselves doing. And this is just human nature. It's carnal nature. We will start declaring it. The doctor said, man said, this person. And we start talking about the problem and we start declaring the problem, not knowing that all the while we are using the authority that is vested in us to bring about our own demise. See, if your kids are living for the devil and hellions and you keep saying, my kids are living for the devil and hellions, you are just giving the devil the permission to beat their tar out of them. If you declare, my marriage is going down the drain and there's nothing I can do about it, you have just opened the floodgates for the devil to come in and hurt you. See, it doesn't take 1 ounce of faith to declare the obvious. You're walking by sight. You're walking by what you see. You're walking by what the report of man is telling you. And there's no faith involved in that. That's why walking by sight is just declaring what our eyes tell us. Now, this is where people have a cow about this. Because, well, are you saying that we shouldn't... What are you talking about? Are you talking about denial? You're talking about denial? And I've run into so many people over the years, especially when it comes to the area of divine healing. Like, oh, well, we don't believe that stuff. You're just believing... That's nonsense. And I run into this all the time. Because people do not understand faith and people disagree with faith. And they go, well, I've seen a lot of people take faith and they were trusting God and it almost killed them. And, you know, if they'd have just gone to the doctor, everything would have been fine. Faith and doctors are not opposite of one another, folks. If you don't want to take medicine, don't go to the doctor. That's your business. But it doesn't necessarily mean you're a person of faith. There's nothing wrong with going to the doctor. So people think that they're diametric. Doctors are trying to help you as well. The only thing I'm just saying is we don't take the doctor's word over God's word. If I'm going to the doctor and the doctor says, oh, by the way, you have cancer and you're going to die. I'm sorry, doctor. My God said that I will not die but live and declare the works of the Lord. I have to have faith in something beyond the natural. I have to have faith beyond what my physical senses can tell me, or otherwise I'm going down the drain. And we're not just talking about emergencies. We're not talking about just massive, big things in our lives. We're talking about everyday lives. So, again, it takes no faith whatsoever once you see the answer. But until you see the answer, it takes faith in God. It requires faith to believe what God is doing when you can't see it, you can't feel it, you have a financial need, and I'm talking about just physical things, you have a financial need, and God, I need you to come through. Well, God may give you wisdom to meet that financial need. He may supernaturally send somebody into your life to help you meet that need, because God doesn't always, you know, God doesn't just rain money out of the sky. There's not a money tree out back that you go to, oh, there's my money tree. God supernaturally raised up a money tree. But God can supernaturally raise up money from places that you never anticipated. As a matter of fact, every time in my life, every time that I've needed money and supernaturally needed some extra money, God has always brought it about in a way I never would have dreamt it came about. Never. And it's always like, holy cow, I would have never dreamt that in 1,000 years. And here it comes. And you know, the human mind will go, well, that's just a coincidence. No, it's not a coincidence. The power and spirit of God. You know, the Bible says in Isaiah that before you asked, I heard, and while the words were in your mouth, the prayer, the answer was on the way. Because this is what people think. Human reasoning is really stupid. People go, well, that couldn't have, how could it have been God? Because I'm putting two and two together here. Okay, for instance, you have a prayer need, and you say, I need some money, and okay, I'm praying this prayer, and I just no more than got done praying, and I go to my mailbox, and there's a whole bunch of money, and it's exactly what I needed. And now I'm putting two and two together here. I just prayed that prayer. It took the mail at least 2-3 days to get that to me, so it had to have just been a coincidence. No, God knew what you needed before you asked Him for what you needed, and He already put it in the mail for you. See, don't let that mind of yours talk you out of the supernatural power of God. Man, this is a big subject. I wish I could just open your heads and shove this all in there, but I can't. I'm talking about declaring what God says about your situation. I'm talking about declaring what God declares about your life. Because God declares things about your life that maybe you don't believe about your life. God doesn't see you a sinner saved by grace. He sees you as His child, His daughter, the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, redeemed by the blood. He sees you as holy and called out. He sees you as having potential beyond what you see yourself because He lives in you. You and God are a majority. Through God, I will do valiantly. Through my God, I will tread down the enemy. Through my God, I can run through a troop and jump over a wall. Through my God. Jonathan, the son of David, said, son of Saul, said, it's not too hard for God to save by a few or by many. God doesn't need a massive army to deliver his people, to change the world. God needs somebody who will trust him and take him at his word. God, through individuals throughout history, has changed the course of nature, nations have changed the course of events. God, through individuals who dared to trust him, have transformed entire continents by his power and glory. Amen. People who will dare to believe him. So faith, trust in God, is trusting God even when our senses at times tell us that we do not have the answer. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 18 says, while we do not look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen, for the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. The New International Version says, so we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. For what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. 2 Corinthians 5, 7 says, for we walk by faith, not by sight. For we walk by faith, not by sight. For we walk by what we cannot see instead of by what we do see. Do you understand what the principle here is speaking about? So I'm just declaring something that's clearly evident in the Bible. Now, again, in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, it's talking about our eternal abode in heaven, that we can't see eternity, but we're not walking by what we're seeing. We're walking by faith. So the things that are seen, the things that we can perceive with our senses, it says here, are temporary. This life we know is a vapor. The life we're living right now in these bodies is temporary. It's going to pass away. We're going to die. Our bodies are going to go into the ground. But we have an eternal abode in heaven. And in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, Paul goes into great detail about that. If our earthly tabernacle or earthly house of this body is destroyed, we have a tabernacle, a building not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. So we set our eyes on the things that are eternal. But the principle is the same in every area of life. We set our eyes on what God declares, not what our senses tell us. We set our eyes on the provisions and power of God. We set our eyes on God. We set our eyes on God. We set our eyes on God. What was the difference between the children of Israel, the congregation in the wilderness, and Moses? The Bible says that the children of Israel knew God's acts. Moses knew God's ways. What's the difference? The children of Israel only believed when they could see what God did at the time he did it, whereas Moses knew the character of God, and therefore he had confidence in God's character to provide for his people. See, God's character by nature is that of a loving, caring father. Now, you may not have had a loving, caring father growing up or loving, caring parents, so your idea or perception of God as a loving father may be a bit distorted. And that's an area that maybe God has to heal you and renew your mind. But if you understand the principle of a loving, caring parent, then you understand that a godly parent is only going to do those things that are best for their children. They have nothing but the best in mind for us. And God is a loving, caring parent, a loving, caring father, wants nothing but the best for his children, and he will do whatever is necessary to provide for you and take care of you and protect you. Amen? So again, in 2 Corinthians, it says we do not look at the things that are seen because the things that are seen are temporary. In other words, everything in this physical world can be changed. No matter what you are facing, it can change in a moment. The children of Israel, they're come out of Egypt. They're living, God has brought them out to the Red Sea. He brings them into a place. If you look at where they actually crossed the Red Sea, they know where they crossed. It was a ravine between two. It was a place where the mountains on either side came down to the Red Sea. And he brought them to that place, and there was no going back. The armies of Egypt come behind them. They're going to wipe them out. And on either side of the place where they crossed the Red Sea, it was a drop-off of thousands of feet deep. Now, some historians try to make this nonsense that, well, there, the water there was only a few feet deep. No, it was not. It was at least 500 feet deep. God supernaturally tells Moses, stretch out your arm, and he stretches out his staff. Again, God uses what you have. He doesn't use what you don't have. God supernaturally parts the Red Sea. They walk through the Red Sea on dry ground, and God destroys the armies of the Egyptians behind them. And God, by the supernatural power of God, Miriam picks up the tambourine and begins to say, our God has done marvelously. The horse and the rider is thrown into the sea. She declares the glory of God, the praises of God. They are delivered by the power of Almighty God, supernaturally, spectacular deliverance. Matter of fact, it's so spectacular. God's working with the Egyptians and how he pillaged the Egyptians. It is so spectacular that years later, when Joshua finally leads the children of Israel into the promised land, because the first group were only moved by what they saw, and we know that that first generation perished in the wilderness because they would only believe what they could see, and the 10 spies bring up an evil report of the land, and they destroy the faith of the whole generation. Why? Because when we only declare what we can see, there's no faith involved in that. And this is what destroys our faith at times. We're listening to people who are always declaring what they only can see. And Christians are just as bad. Well, I don't know what's going to happen. Blah, I'm so scared. I'm so this. I'm so that. Oh, I don't know. Christians can get just as carnally minded. They can talk just like lost people. It doesn't matter if you're a Christian if you don't know what God's Word says. And most Christians don't know faith from a man in the moon. And so they're just talking what their senses tell them. They're just declaring what they already know. There's no faith in that. Not one drop, folks. But there is faith when you have to take God at His word to provide for you, no matter what that provision is, whether it's deliverance, whether it's safety, whether it's financial provision, whether it's physical provision, whether it's to change your family, whether it's to change the area. Because see, if we're walking by our sight, I've been pastoring here for 30 years, almost 30 years, and we're looking at our area and go, whoa, my goodness, we're going to change the world. We're going to have millions of dollars. It hasn't happened yet. I haven't seen it yet. So that's just pipe dream. Yeah, through God, we can do these things. I don't know where it's going to happen. It's not my responsibility to figure it out. It's only my responsibility to trust that God can and will do it. It took Abraham 25 years after he left Ur of the Chaldeans to get to the point where he was fully convinced of what God had said he would do. It took him 25 years to get to the point where he was completely convinced that God would, through his seed Isaac, bless all nations of the world. It takes a season to develop trust in God, walking with God, and seeing God's provision. Amen? And if you really look back at your life, if you walk with God more than any time at all, and you look back at your life, I think you could go back and say, wow, if I could remember all the things that God has done, you would really be amazed if somebody really had recited all the things that God has supernaturally done in your life that maybe you didn't even know He was doing. It would blow you away because God has done so many things. You know, the scripture says, it shall not come near me. Only with my eyes shall I behold the destruction of the wicked. And I've said this many, many, many times. So we live by what we believe, not by what we see. We live by faith. We walk by faith. We don't walk by sight. And this is a lifelong process. The Bible says the just shall live by his faith. In other words, it's a daily walking by faith. This is why we pray. We pray believing that God is going to hear us. And as he hears us, he is going to bring about what we're asking him to do. It takes faith to do that. How many of you believe God can change America? But you know, if you listen to the skeptics and the doubters, you'd think this country is going down the drain. And there are times in my life that I believe that. Now, let me just say this. A nation that forgets God will be turned into hell. And America, because of its actions, is calling for the judgment of God because of the sin of this nation. We have been given the truth, and America has been rejecting the truth. But because of the favor that we have as God's people, the people of God, because our favor and our ability to stand in the gap before God, so God does not judge the nation, just like Abraham stood in the gap, just like Jesus stood in the gap, if we will stand in the gap for our nation and declare the righteousness of God over America, this nation can turn around. So we live by what we believe, not by what we see. Again, if we're only going to declare the things over our life as what we can see, then we're going to miss the boat. Now, I've given you a lot of scriptures here. I gave you Romans chapter 4, which is the classic scripture. We get this from calling things that be not as though they were, speaking of future events with as much certainty as though they'd already come to pass. So this is how faith works. Faith declares the answer of God before we see the answer of God. When we pray, speaking and stepping out in faith, asking God to do something in our life, then what we do from there? We give God the glory that He heard our prayer and that the answer is on the way, no matter if we see it or not. Because we go, oh, well, now the answer showed up. Hallelujah, the answer showed up. Now I'm happy. Then we're not really believing that God answered when we prayed. And sometimes answers take a while to manifest themselves. You know, if you needed, I'm just using money as an illustration because it's easy to get our minds around. If you needed X amount of dollars to pay a huge bill you had or something, that a financial need in your life, and you pray for that, now, it could be supernaturally the next day you walk out to your mailbox and there's a bunch of money. But one of the things you have to really be careful in walking in faith is presupposing that God is going to answer your prayer the way you think He's going to answer your prayer. Because that will bring discouragement to you when you don't see it happen. Or if an answer comes to you one way and then you start expecting the next time it's going to come to you that way again. That'll get you in trouble. Because God does not work that way. God works in ways that when it happens, it's supernatural and you know it. So you're believing God for something in your life, but you're not seeing any answer. You've been praying and nothing seems to be changing. Maybe even things are getting worse. So you have two choices. You can say, well, I guess that's not working. I mean, I prayed and it's not working. Or you can declare what God says. Lord, I prayed and I'm standing, declaring what you said in your word, and I'm not backing down from this. Now, some of this has to do with how resolved you are in your thinking and how, when you step out believing God, that you honestly know that what you're believing God for is what God wants you to have in your life. Now, sometimes when you're believing God for things that involve other people, you realize God doesn't take and twist people's will to make them match your prayer. This is why when you're interceding for people, you have to continue. You can't just pray a prayer of faith over somebody like, I just declare they're saved and they're going to follow God from here on out. They have a will. You can't just apply faith to things like a rubber stamp, like, well, I'm just believing God, they're saved, and that's all there is to it. No, because they have a will, so you have to fight and stand in faith, declaring their salvation, yes, but still interceding so the devil doesn't kill them and so that the devil does not deceive them. So you're calling them in. So that's why it's a fight when you're interceding for things. There's forces of darkness you're battling against. But when it comes to things in your own life, you can just stand declaring that what you prayed about has come to pass, and you stand in faith against the opposition to that. It's like planting seeds. Jesus said the kingdom of God is as if a man should plant a seed into the ground. Well, how do you plant seed? Think of that principle. Jesus said this is how the kingdom of God operates. All of faith, all of the kingdom of God operates upon this law, the law of seed time and harvest. You plant the seed by faith, and what's your faith in? God, who is the author of the seed and His word. So you plant the word by faith, by declaring it out of your mouth, by praying, and by standing that the faith in that seed, the seed is going to bring it forth. So He said, the kingdom of God is as if a man should plant a seed into the ground, a kernel of corn into the ground. He goes to bed, he gets up. He goes to bed, he gets up. He goes to bed, he gets up. The seed brings forth a sprout, then a stalk, then an ear, and then the full kernel in there. We realize that with natural things, there is a season, really. You understand that? There's a season. The kingdom of God operates upon that same principle, the principle of seed time and harvest. To everything under the sun, there is a season. So the key to receiving from God, unless we pray and it instantly happens, which it does at times, but that is not according to what Jesus himself said, how the kingdom of God operates. The kingdom of God operates, he said, upon the law of seed time and harvest. And what's that law? You plant a seed, you make sure the seed is protected, and the seed has the power to bring forth 30, 60, and 100-fold in your life. The key is making sure the seed stays in the ground and the seed is not rooted out, stolen, or choked out. And if you read the parable of the sower in Gospel of Matthew chapter 13 or Mark's Gospel, the fourth chapter, you will see that principle. If the seed is allowed to stay in the soil of your heart and stay there and be protected, the seed will bring forth fruit 30, 60, and 100-fold in any area of your life that you need God to do it in. The real problem is that oftentimes the seed gets aborted before it brings forth the fruit. See, that's the faith. It's not when you plant the seed, and it's not necessarily when you harvest the seed. It's the time from when you plant it to the time you do harvest it. The time you're not seeing the seed do anything. We all know, just from a natural perspective, farmers would be just really stupid if they planted a whole field of corn, and the next day, because they didn't look out their window and see it all growing, they went and plowed it all under and planted another field. But this is exactly what Christians we do with the Word of God. We plant the seed, we get prayed for, we're believing God, and then we don't see anything. We don't see the harvest. We don't see that anything's changing. As a matter of fact, it looks worse. What do farmers do? They might plant the seed, the next day a big rainstorm comes, or maybe they get drought. They don't go plow up their field because they get a rainstorm or they get drought. They trust the seed. They trust the seed. They trust the seed. Now, in the natural, we're limited, but in the supernatural, in the spiritual realm, we're not limited. So the seed of God is in the ground, and we look out our window, and we're not seeing anything different. We're not seeing anything change. So what do? We just thank God that the seed is growing. We thank God that, Lord, you're bringing forth a harvest. Lord, I've been sowing seed. I've been planting seed. I've been watering seed. One plants, another waters. God gives the increase. Father, we're planting, we're watering. Give the increase. We're planting, we're watering. We're giving the increase. You know, sometimes planting and watering can take a generation even. God brought a whole generation out of Egypt, and most of them died before receiving the promise. Do you remember that? Why? Because of their unbelief. It took a whole nother generation to be raised up to change that scenario who would believe God. And God corrected it with Joshua the second time because he didn't let them open their big mouths. There's so much principle in this you'd have to take hold of. And the thing I'm trying to just infuse you with this morning is when you're standing in faith for God to do something in your life, really what we are declaring is what Paul said, having therefore the same spirit of faith, we believe and therefore we speak. We believe and therefore we speak. We believe and therefore we speak. So the key is, what do you believe? Because whether you believe God is doing something or whether you believe God is not doing something, you and I are going to speak it, right? We are going to speak what we believe. And when we speak what we believe, we are declaring it, whether it's in a conversation. And then that's why it's so important that when we are believing God for things, that when we're standing in faith for something to change in our nation, something to change in the nations, something to change in our family or in our personal lives, we must guard what we hear. We must guard how we talk about that, because we will root up our own seed if we're not careful. We'll cast away our confidence and victory will be lost. This is why if you're standing in faith for healing, you can't listen to the words of men. You can't be moved by what people say. You can't be moved by those things. I mean, I see this all the time where people are standing in faith and then they'll start listening to the word of man, and pretty soon all they're talking about is their symptoms. All they're talking about is their situation. All they're talking about is the reality of what their senses are telling them and what they don't comprehend. And I'm not criticizing. They just don't know what they don't know. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. They're just declaring what already is evident, which is not faith. If you keep saying, I'm broke, I don't have any money, I don't have a job, I can't get any more money, you know, I'm going down the drain, blah, 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 blah. Well, that's your faith in action, because that's what you literally believe. If you keep talking about your circumstances as being bad, and I realize there's a lot of controversy around this, like, well, you think you're creating your own reality by the words of your mouth. No, I know you're creating your own reality by the words of your mouth. Henry Ford wasn't, I don't even know if Henry Ford was a believer, but Henry Ford says, he said, whether a man believes he can do a thing or not, he is right. And last week we talked about the reality, until your mind is convinced that it can be changed, you will always talk about what you see with your natural eyes until your mind is convinced that God can change that situation, and then you will begin declaring what God declares over it. But until your mind is convinced it will change, you might as well spit in the wind as to believe it's ever going to change, because it's not going to. Because you have nothing for faith to take hold of. You have nothing to take your faith and take hold of it with, so that your faith stays there. That's why Abraham had to leave Ur of the Chaldeans, go into the land flowing with milk and honey, so he could see the great provision that God was willing to give to he, and not only willing, but wanting to give to he and his seed forever. God declares Abraham's visions change. Abraham takes care of the vision. He takes hold of the vision of God. He takes hold of the promises of God by faith, knowing that God has given he and his descendants forever this land. Take hold of the promises of God once you've taken hold of your imagination, realizing that this can change and it will change. And then that's my vision. That's what I'm laying hold of. I will not be deterred. Jesus set his face like flint to go to Jerusalem because he had one vision, the cross, death, and resurrection. The cross, death, and resurrection. The cross, death, and resurrection. It was the vision of the cross that drove Jesus to his death. Because it was the vision of the resurrection beyond the cross that caused him to bear the infirmities and sins of us all. Same thing is true in any area of your life. Well, Heavenly Father, we thank you, praise you, and bless you this morning that we're people of faith, not of doubt and unbelief. We thank you, Father, that you're transforming our lives and the nation and the nations of the world because you are a God of vision and conquest and change. Father, we're not victims of circumstances. We're victors over circumstances. Yea, in all things, if God be for us, who can be against us? If God is on our side, who can be against us? If God did not spare his own son but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? I want you to stand your feet this morning as we're leaving. I forgot about this last week, I think, and I want to go back to it today.